Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It is the eve of the 2018 midterm elections, and we are going to start today with all things politics. Joining us here in the studio is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana. Good to be here.
Hey there. And also here with us is Boston Globe political reporter and a WBUR political analyst, James Pindle. He joins us on the line from the offices over at the Globe. James, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Great to be back on.
Thanks for joining us. Anthony, let's start with you. You spent the weekend covering the Massachusetts Senate race, which is between incumbent Democrat Elizabeth Warren and Republican challenger Jeff Deal. A poll last week done by WBUR showed that she was ahead of Deal by more than 20 points. But we know that polls are no guarantee, especially
That's right.
anymore. So what's been the closing strategy for the two campaigns?
All right. Well, this race, I think more than any other race in the state, reflects these stark divisions that we see across the country around President Trump. It's a clash between Jeff Deal's support for the president and Warren's interest in replacing the president. And Deal is trying to capitalize or weaponize Warren's interest in running for president. She says she's going to give it a hard look after the election, and she's been laying the groundwork for a possible run for months now. So here's Deal talking about this this past weekend in Fitchburg.
Senator Warren, just the last 2 days, was in Ohio and, you know, Wisconsin. Instead of focused on Massachusetts, just shows her lack of commitment. I think the voters out there realize that. So we're getting a lot of support.
Now, Warren responds to this by saying, hey, I'm committed to Massachusetts. I've held something like 40 town hall meetings in recent months. I'm running against a guy who wants to go to Washington and says he wants to have President Trump's back. So here's how she put it yesterday at a Democratic rally in Worcester.
My opponent wants to go to Washington to be the one vote that is needed to take away health care from tens of millions of people across this country.
So, Tiziana, Deal is trying to make the case that sending a Republican like him to Washington would give Massachusetts a seat at the table. Warren is arguing that a Senator Deal would work against the interests of most Massachusetts residents.
Yeah, and Anthony, Jeff Deal has been very clear about his very strong pro-Trump position and support for the president. Does he turn this race into a referendum on Donald Trump?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. And to the extent that it is, I think it helps Elizabeth Warren because this is a state, after all, that voted 2-1 against President Trump. On the other hand, Deal isn't running away from Trump in any way. He co-chaired the Trump campaign in Massachusetts. He certainly avoids Trump's divisive rhetoric. He's kind of a nice guy, but he nevertheless embraces Trump's policies, including his tough line on immigration. He's a big supporter of the Republican tax cut. So, yeah, I think this is a race more than any other in the state that is a referendum on President Trump.
So, James, let's pick up on that, because Elizabeth Warren has held a strong lead in the polls throughout this whole thing. But we do know that President Trump received more than 1 million votes in Massachusetts in 2016. Does he have a shot to win running as this very pro-Trump, all Trump all the time kind of candidate? I think we may have lost James. So, Anthony, let me turn that question over to you. Oh, are you there?
I am here.
There we go.
Great. We can quote the election returns from 2 years ago, or we can reference a poll from 2 months ago that showed that Massachusetts was more down on Trump than any other state in the entire country. We were arguing that we are more of a resistance state than California. So this go all in strategy on Trump, I understand it. It is very much in line with what other Republicans are doing around the country. Look, midterm elections tend to be about, can you get out your base voter? More than it is, can I appeal to independent voters? So I understand why Deal is going all in that way, but this may be a particularly bad state overall to be doing it in.
Now, James, there's also an independent candidate in this race, Shiva Ayyadurai. Do you think his presence in the race will affect the final results?
Well, he's been getting a lot of support in terms of a person without any party backing at all, having to do it all on his own. But the margins that Elizabeth Warren has been ahead in this a race, 20 points or so, means that he's really not going to make the difference. And if he does anything, he may be taking away from the anti-Warren vote that would be helping Jeff Deal.
So, Anthony, so Aya Durai might be taking away from the anti-Warren vote. Elizabeth Warren seems to be kind of reflecting the national picture in this race. She's been one of the more vocal critics of the president. How much does Massachusetts or can Massachusetts reflect the national picture tomorrow in the Senate race?
Well, I mean, I think it reflects the national picture in a big way. I mean, you've got Trump sort of looming over this race in a big way. You've got Elizabeth Warren running against Trump in a big way. And you've got her opponent, Jeff Deal, the former co-chair of the Trump campaign, who pretty much represents, as James said, who's sort of going all in for his support of President Trump. So I think this really is the race that does reflect that sort of national division that we're, you know, this is a real referendum on the president tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, James.
One side note on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
One side note on this, which is, you know, it's fascinating. He's going, Jeff Deal's going all in on Trump, but Trump has yet to actually officially endorse Deal, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What do you think that means?
I think he's got bigger fish to fry. I mean, he's much more focused, the president, on those states out west, those so-called red states where he thinks he can pick off a blue Senate candidate in states like Montana, for example. I don't think anyone in the White House would think it would be worth coming up to Massachusetts and doing a rally to try to get Jeff Deal elected. It's just the odds are too long.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that, James?
That's fair, but my only point would be that Trump had took the time to tweet his support for the Republican candidate for governor in Connecticut, but he's not doing who's not a big Trump person, but he's just completely staying away from Deal, even though that's been Deal's whole campaign strategy.
Interesting.
So, James, let's stay on this Trump dimension for a second and talk about Trump and Warren, because Elizabeth Warren's been very clear that once this election is over, she's going to take a hard look about running for the president in 2020. What's your take on how well she's balanced running for re-election as a senator here in the Commonwealth versus establishing groundwork for a potential 2020 presidential run?
You know, there are a number of folks trying to do the same exact thing. Bernie Sanders, for example, who's also trying to travel the country, trying to figure out his path in 2020 while also seeking re-election in Vermont. I think one of the surprising things when you look back on the course of this U.S. Senate race is that it has not been more competitive. I think if you were to ask Jeff Deal or his two other Republican people who ran in the primary, if they thought that there would be some more support from, say, a super PAC that would at least try to tear down Elizabeth Warren ahead of a presidential run, they probably put that in their calculus. The mere fact that this race has not been competitive, when Elizabeth Warren, you know, won only one election, it's her last election, and 6 years ago she only got 54% of the vote. This is not exactly like some incumbent grabbing 60-70% of the vote. I guess you would think on paper 2 years ago this would be more competitive, and the fact that it's not has allowed Elizabeth Warren to have more freedom to travel around the country and not really be hurt by it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think that she's seriously considering running for president has made her, in a way, more present and visible in Massachusetts, ironically, because it probably has to do with the fact that if she's going to run for president, she needs to engage with voters. She needs to debate her opponents. She needs to be seen and to be present. And so even though she's been running around the country, as James says, campaigning in the Midwest and other battleground states, she's been really visible and accessible here in Massachusetts in a way that she wasn't before. So in a funny way, I don't think it's hurt her at all, even though Jeff Deal has tried to make an issue of it.
So the Senate race has been...
And Anthony's right, and one last point, sorry to interrupt there,
That's okay.
That Anthony made a very smart point there. What's really happening in the last, say, 3 or 4 months with Elizabeth Warren is this Senate campaign has been spring training for her.
Absolutely.
Running for the presidential race.
Yeah,
she's
right.
Trying to, as you mentioned, she's been doing all the town halls around the country, trying to get ready for those audiences in Iowa and New Hampshire. She's been doing the debates, trying to do prep work, trying to take it seriously. One thing she interestingly has not been doing is running a lot of television ads. So she's been sort of banking a lot of that money that obviously going to help her when she runs for president.
Thanks for that. I do want to make sure we cover a couple of the other races. Let's turn to the one that's happening at the state level here that seems to be intensely more local. And that's Democrat Jay Gonzalez challenging a very popular GOP incumbent governor in Charlie Baker. A poll from last week that WBUR did had Baker leading by more than 40 points in that race. Anthony, how has he been able to stay so popular with Democrats who might also be voting for Elizabeth Warren in the Senate?
Well, I mean, Charlie Baker, is one of those old style New England Republicans. He's somewhat conservative on fiscal issues. He doesn't like to raise taxes, but he's a liberal and he'd be a Democrat in just about any other state. So I think that appeals to a lot of Democrats in Massachusetts. He's pro-choice. He's pro-gun control. He's pro-LGBTQ rights. He's pro all of those sort of liberal cultural issues. And so he's able to straddle that line. And he's also got a pretty good economic record to run on as well. So while Jay Gonzalez would like to nationalize this and like to pin Donald Trump on him, Charlie Baker, in a way, can rise above it and sort of say, hey, I'm not running for the Senate. I'm not running for attorney general. You know, I'm running for governor and folks know my record.
James, Gonzalez has been trying to do just that, which is pin a lot of the Republican candidates on Charlie Baker. Doesn't seem to be working. Does he have a shot? This is the flip side of the Warren and Deal question. Does Gonzalez have a shot to beat Charlie Baker in this race? And if so, how?
Well, boy, the odds look harder for Gonzalez to defeat Baker than it is for Deal to beat Warren, if you just follow what people are saying. You know, on Friday, for a story I was working on at the Globe, I was trying to search for the actual Jay Gonzalez voter, with the arguments in the end were working out. And I went to all of these liberal enclaves here in Massachusetts. And it was really hard, number one, to find a Gonzalez voter, even in these liberal enclaves. But what was fascinating to me is, you know, in the past, those voters who split their ticket, right, they generally will vote Democrat, but then they'll pick a Republican or vice versa. There's a point of pride for these folks that, you know, I'm an independent voter. I'm reasonable. I can vote for people on both sides. But that's not actually what happened when I was talking to liberal after liberal on why they were voting for Charlie Baker. They were almost apologetic about it. They're like, look, don't judge me as a progressive. You have to understand why I'm voting for Baker. They go through down the line of things that Anthony just mentioned. But there's one other thing that was hugely significant, and it goes to the premise of your question, which is that from the outset, Charlie Baker did not get branded as a Trump Republican. And if you look at some of these polls, particularly from Mass Inc. and Suffolk University, that really drill down on this question, do you think Baker is anti-Trump or pro-Trump? You know, 2 out of 3 people would say he's anti-Trump. And the argument then from Gonzalez is that Baker is not anti-Trump enough, which is already more of a subtle argument. But I think that was probably the most significant thing, even with the economy being strong, even with his positions, one of the most significant things that he gave no breathing room to any Democratic challenger.
So before we turn our attention to one other race, I want to take us out of the Republican-Democrat-Independent tension and look at one other historical thing that's set to happen tomorrow, which is that Boston City Councilor Ayanna Pressley stands ready to become the first African-American elected as a U.S. representative in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. What does that mean for the Commonwealth, and why will that be an important moment? James, go ahead.
Well, it is an important moment. And look, this is a district that was created for this reason. This is a majority-minority district just in terms of constituents. And Ayanna Pressley is obviously a rising national star, and she's someone we'll be looking to a lot.
Anthony, what else?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I guess I would just say it's taken a long time and it's about time. I mean, she's the first African-American woman who's going to be going to Congress representing the Massachusetts. This is a majority-minority district. It's about time, I would say, and good for her.
So it's really an interesting and complicated set of factors. You've got tension between Republicans and Democrats on one side. You've got a Republican who seems like they're going to take it away pretty quickly, pretty well. On the other, you've got a Democrat doing the same thing. Let's turn our attention to Maine. We're going to do one more race here. I'd like to look at the race in Maine because there are two pretty close races going on there right now. And one is the race for governor, and the other is a second congressional district race where Republican Bruce Poliquin is running for re-election against Democrat Jerry Golden. Is there anything specific that either of you is watching from Maine that people should pay attention to?
I love that congressional race in Maine. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, among other things, I mean, this is one of the races that is sort of, you know, the bellwether for how the whole country may go. I mean, this is one of the key races for control of Congress. It's also interesting that this is the only Republican, Poliquin, who comes from New England in Congress, and he could be voted out. Maybe he stays. We'll see. The polls have been really close. But this is a race that I'm really interested to watch tomorrow.
I do think it's going to be quite interesting. All right. Now, James, last question. I'm going to turn to you, and we're going to turn to New Hampshire, where incumbent Governor Chris Sununu, who held a really big early lead, suddenly finds himself appeared to be tied with his Democratic challenger, Molly Kelly, in a new University of New Hampshire poll. It says 49-49. Are those numbers real? Is she really closing the gap?
Well, it's very possible. She's definitely closing the gap. But the most interesting thing there is Democratic turnout. That's what's so hard to gauge here. And the UNH pollster suggested that Democratic turnout will be at least 13 points higher for Democrats than it is Republicans. And if it's exactly that high, then it's going to be exactly tied. If it's not, then the Republican will be fine. It's going to be so hard and so unpredictable, these elections. You know, most people didn't even think she was going to be the Democratic nominee. But then there was such record turnout and people wanting to vote for a female candidate. And the Democrat is Molly Kelly versus Chris Sununu, the Republican, that, you know, I think a lot of people are going to be watching this race, but they're skeptical as to whether or not it's really tied.
Great. Thanks, James. That's James Pindle. He's a political reporter for the Boston Globe and for WBUR as a political analyst. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, can you hang tight for a few minutes? We'd like to check back in with you in just a bit.
Happy to do it.
Thanks.